after some fine performances this year...
Some really good inningses.
JB and Billy have declared...
I'm finished and now I'm in the ground and I'm absolutely cooked.
So now we revisit the highlights.
Afternoon radio gets no better.
This is the best of Triple M's Rush Hour.
I feel good!
Fat, in this hour, we will revisit one of the great meetings of the mind this show has ever seen. When you went toe-to-toe with one of our favourite comedians, Ross Noble.
Yes, Jim, he's a different cat.
He probably thinks the same about you.
Plus, we look back at my excellent Instagram prank on you and the time you weren't invited to a party.
But next, we hear when you were totally unappreciative of my incredible generosity.
This is the best of Triple M's Rush Hour. If you're missing JB and Billy, download the Lister app to hear them anywhere, anytime.
I feel good!
So, we're sitting in this very studio two nights ago. Fat says, well, I'm going home to my joint. He's got a place up here now. I'm going home to my joint, and all I can do is just sit on the beanbag.
I did hear this and play Wordle, he
That's
was
it.
Saying.
Yep. Because he's got nothing in his house.
No, I'll tell you what I've got, Jim. One bed, one barbecue, a TV cabinet, and a beanbag. And a toolbox.
Yep.
And a toolbox.
So we established pretty quickly that he needed a TV.
Yes.
Yes.
And I said, I actually have a brand new television at my joint.
Brand new.
Because I buggered up the sizing.
Okay.
So I'll explain to you why. I've obviously got to sit and watch tape most of the week to get ready to call footy on the weekend. And there's nothing my partner, Lisa, and I don't blame her, dislikes
more than me
sitting and watching tape of a game that's already happened.
Yeah.
So I said, righto, I'll get a TV in the front room, we'll set that up and I'll go and watch tape there.
Good.
So anyway, and I'm not proud of this hose.
Mm.
I ordered a 60-incher when the space there only accommodated a 55-incher, which I probably should have worked out first.
You're always going
so anyway,
oversized.
It didn't fit. So I then got a 55-inch television, took that out of the box, put that on the wall, and the 60-inch, which has never actually been used, went into the 55-inch box, and I taped it up, and it's sat there ever since, brand spanking new.
And you've gifted this to Bill?
What I said to him is, you can have it for the exact amount it cost me.
Right.
So he gives me $500. Now.
Cash.
Hose.
Cash.
This is the interesting bit. I actually looked up on the invoice that came from the place, and it was $620.
Right.
So I've given him a $120 discount.
You're not getting that.
Anyway, fat idiot sitting here has not stopped whinging since.
Jim.
I heard some whinging yesterday.
Shit television, he reckons, in a box that says Hisense when it isn't a Hisense television.
Exactly.
Yeah, so he has not stopped.
No.
But you've just explained why. So what's the problem?
So
first of all,
it gets worse. I find out today after all of this whinging, it's still in the box.
But Jim.
He hadn't even taken it out to look at it.
Bill.
Why is it in another box?
I
want to know.
I've just explained why.
Because it was supposed to be a Hisense. I thought it was a Hisense. I thought I've done well here. And it's some shit brand I've never heard of.
How do you know what brand it is?
It's got the remote taped on the side of the box.
How do you know what brand it is? You haven't taken it out of the box.
I reckon you've found a remote at home and you've taped it to the side of the box. It's all taped up with bloody shitty old brown tape, Jim. And it's not quite right.
You haven't taken it out. You don't even know what it looks like.
And it rattles.
Oh.
What do you mean it rattles?
Well, I don't know if the screen's cracked or broken.
It isn't.
Or the is it come with stands?
Unless you've broken it. It's got a stand in there. It's got the remote taped to the side so that you've got a remote.
I think I've been dudded.
And, Bill, it's a 4K high def, whatever the hell that is.
Smart TV.
Has anybody told him, though, about the smart TV? You need internet.
Internet, which you don't have.
And you know what else it hasn't got? The plug from the telly to the
they don't
antenna.
Come with it.
They don't come with
yes,
the
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
Come
Shut
with that. The good ones. The good ones come with that.
No, they don't.
So I'm going to go somewhere and buy a...
Office Works. We'll get you one of them for about $2.
No, they're not more than that. It's going to cost me more.
So you haven't...
Well, you saved $120.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
didn't pay James that much money.
Well, I don't even know if it works.
You haven't shut
There's
your
no
stupid
batteries.
Mouth and you haven't taken it out of the box.
No batteries, Jim. The stands. I reckon you found a stand somewhere else and it doesn't fit the whatever shitty brand
you,
it is.
I tell you what I've learned, Hose. Never again am I going to offer to help old balloon head over there.
No.
Go and get your own television.
You bullied me into it.
I didn't.
I didn't want the bloody thing. No, come on, Fat, because you couldn't wait to get rid of it.
You can have it for what it cost me and I've given you a $120 discount.
You had it out in hard rubbish.
Which you're giving me.
Hard rubbish.
Tomorrow.
Go, Fat will get that.
I want a couple of Bradmans and a crayfish.
Well, I need some renovations done. So if Chappie's listening, by the way, Jim, our builder, Any chance?
Oh.
And then he can set the telly up.
And then you can start whinging at him.
He can set the telly up.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Oh, we're going to talk to him about some serious subjects here, Jim. So I want your best,
all right,
best teeth in, please.
This man has been an icon of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival for years.
RBT, if you've never watched it, you've got to watch it. Because they can do now, not just breath testing, they can do tests for cannabis, right? 3 weeks ago, they had a Nimbin special.
Please welcome Ross Noble.
Here he is.
Hello, hello, hello.
How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Lovely to be here.
We just need to talk about something that happened just before the microphones were opened.
You see, I wasn't going to mention it.
Ross has grabbed the earphones and said, wow, they even tell you which ear to put it on, you know, with the L. Mm. And Bill goes, really? How long has that been?
He's never noticed that before.
I've never noticed
that. Have you literally been listening to it? Do you think whenever he speaks, he's coming, he's behind you?
Yeah.
Well, when he does, it shocks me because he doesn't speak. Yeah. I know Jim comes from there, but when Rabsy. How are you, Ross?
I'm very well, thanks. I'm glad I've brought a bit of. Because I came and I thought it was me being a bit too professional there. Because I looked at it and went, oh, I've got left and right.
Left and
I want to make sure I'm on the right thing.
It.
And you looked at the headphones like you'd never seen headphones before.
No, I had, but I didn't know they had. L for a left and R for right.
Yeah, just like welly boots. Have you, when you got your gum boots, do you have the left and right on them as well?
No, I know.
The way they look.
Yes.
Look, I don't know anything about golf. I'll be perfectly honest. Is that you're wearing a golf? Is that a golf visor?
It is, Roscoe. And they're very old school visors. There's a bloke called Ian Poulter from your country.
Right.
He's about the only professional golfer that actually wears a visor.
Right, okay.
So I'm going, but it's a bit retro. Yeah,
I
retro.
Like it because I was looking through the glass before I came in and it was like looking at, you know, like a 1930s speakeasy. You know, where they would wear those sort of like you were running that. It's good. I like the retro style.
I'm taking it back.
Yeah, it does look good. Taylor made one, by the way. Are you an Aussie or a Pom?
Oh, good Lord. That was very accusatory.
Accusatory?
I didn't know that you had a customs official working in the studio. Well, good Lord, is this just one big trick?
I know. I know you're a Pom, but you've been here for a while now.
I married an Australian and I live here now. And I have, should we talk visa status? I'm a resident. I do not have an Australian passport. But I want one, I'm desperate for one, and as soon as I am eligible, I will become an Australian and I will pledge my allegiance to meat pies.
Good. Because you're married to an Aussie.
Yes. No, Ross just said that.
I know. That's part of my question.
Right, okay.
Yes.
What's it like?
Give him a chance. He's got headphones on the wrong way around.
What's it like to be married? Oh, he's odd, Jim.
He'll start the show in a minute.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry. What's it like to be married to an Aussie?
Being
well,
a Pom.
I mean, you know, they're all different. That's what I found about the Australians. There's no one size fits all. You know, my wife is very lovely, which is definitely why I married her.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's good.
I can't speak for other Australian wives.
Right.
But if they ever do a reality TV show, you know, like Married at First Sight.
Yes.
If they do some sort of, I don't know, like Celebrity Mormon, where you get to sample a selection of wives.
Right.
Let me ever tell you. My wife's lovely, yeah.
Friend.
And oh my God.
Following on Instagram.
I'm not sure whether you're sure that you've done research or stalking.
two girls.
He's out in the garden again. With his headphones on.
Peeking over your fence.
She's great. I was instantly drawn with it when I first came to this country. I was just drawn by how straightforward and just. My wife's very blunt, put it that way.
Yeah.
You know,
good.
She's...
you know where you stand.
Exactly. In fact, our wedding vows, she went, I'll always love you, even when you're a bit fat. So, you know, that gives you an idea.
That's good for us Aussies that are a bit fat, isn't it, Rabs?
Yeah.
But I actually, Ross, I love that about Australian girls. Mine is very similar, very, very blunt. And I, how am I going to put this?
This would be good.
For divorce reasons. Had to sell a house.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, so we had to go in there first before it was sold and clear everything up and get everything out and get it ready for the new owner.
Yes.
And then went to a shop afterwards and there were some really nice towels at this shop. And I looked at them and I said, yeah, they're nice towels. My partner Lisa went, yeah, they'd go well in a house. Shame you don't own one.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the next day after I had to evacuate. But that's what you're talking about. That's what I love about them.
Yeah, well, you know, speaking of the, because I get, you know, I slim down sometimes. Sometimes I'm a larger man.
Do you fluctuate a bit?
I do, yeah. And my wife actually said to me, I don't know if there might be kids in the car. I'll talk around. She said, do you know what my ultimate fantasy would be? I said, oh, good Lord.
Good Lord.
I said, good Lord, Vicar. And I said, she said, I'd quite like to make some, I'd quite like to make love to somebody who isn't fat. And that's, you know what I mean? It was a nice way of putting it, but it's the bluntness. It's the bluntness that I like.
I absolutely love it.
Exactly.
More with Ross Noble after this.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Never have I watched a full episode of Steinfeld. Is it Steinfeld?
What's it? Steinfeld.
Seinfeld? Seinfeld.
We are joined by Ross Noble.
Now, are you a mad motorbike rider? Is that still the case?
That is the case, yes.
So does it annoy you when you see a celebrity motorbike wankers that clearly aren't actually motorbike riders but think it's cool, so they sort of half take it up?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm sure if you asked, you know, hardcore professional motorcyclists, they would probably call me a celebrity motorbike wanker. But no, I've raced bikes. I did I've done all sorts. I did the Scottish 60er trial, which I finished. So, you know, I'm into it.
I'm talking with an expert here, so you can tell me, but I had the great pleasure of going to the place where the TT races are held.
The Isle of Man.
Isle of Man. While they were on.
Wow. Come on.
I was 18, 17. I was on a cricket tour. It was one of the great days, and that is the single stupidest thing I've ever seen anyone do.
Isn't it the best thing ever?
They've got stone walls next to these roads, and they're doing like 250Ks.
It's not Stonehenge, is it?
Stonehenge.
No, it's a totally different part of England.
International Druid drag race.
Isn't that a waste of time? Isn't that the biggest waste of shit I've ever seen?
What, Stonehenge?
So, do you see what I'm working with?
How do you do it?
We've gone from the TT races to suddenly talking about Stonehenge.
We'll get back to the races, no problem at all. But yeah, Druid drag racing every year on the solstice. They line up all the Druids.
I got no idea what you're saying.
Druids, Stonehenge.
I got no idea what you just said.
Right, you know Stonehenge?
Yes.
This is amazing. You know what this is like for you every day? Is it like, it's like being in a nursing home?
Exactly what it is. Literally. Exactly what it is.
I saw something the other day about Stonehenge.
Right.
Me and my mate, Dwayne Russell, went there once, down the Autobahn doing 250Ks.
That's in Germany.
The Autobahn.
Yeah, that's in another country.
Well, we drove to Germany. I don't know.
I think you were at the wrong henge.
No. Is it? No. These were flying then. No wonder we're going past everyone.
Welcome to the Düsseldorf Henge.
No wonder we went past everyone. We thought it was the Autobahn. Right. Anyway, pulled up a handbrake. Quickly went into Stonehenge, took photos. Yep. Mate, there's nothing there. It's just boring.
It's a henge.
What do you mean
there's nothing there? Did you get out in the wrong field? Were you stood in a field just going, somebody, there's a pile of bricks, and you're like, I thought it'd be bigger than this, like Spinal
Tap. Exactly, a couple. Like, they were nice on top of each other, but did
you
nothing.
As you get closer, they get bigger. You know, that's how perspective works. Did you? But, you're watching from a distance going, it's tiny, look at it.
Biggest disappointment ever. Ever.
What you're saying that Stonehenge,
yeah,
the greatest monolith in the history,
no bloody monolith,
the biggest disappointment, whatever,
ever,
oh my God.
ever.
Did you were you there for the solstice? Because the Druids, you know, the pagans.
Oh, here we go. What are the Druids like? Robots?
Robot Druids.
Where are we going here?
This is incredible.
Ross, I'm telling you.
I'm loving it.
I'll tell you what happens regularly when we're doing this show. This will sum your now thoughts a bill up. We will be talking about something. He'll turn around and look at the television screen and go, "Well, what about that?" And it's radio.
And it's literally, it's just a 24-hour loop of Stonehenge.
People in their cars are like, I don't even know what he's talking about.
He's on the phone.
Oh,
what's he doing on the phone?
What a druid is.
Oh, you're checking out a druid.
Member of the learnt class among the ancient Celts.
Celts.
Oh, Celts. Why isn't it spelt with a K then?
Alka-Seltzer. Alka-Kelter is brilliant. It's a Celtic. It's a Celtic fizzy drink.
My goodness.
They go to the Stonehenge every year. But I'm not sure what the link was between that and the Isle of Man.
No, there was no link.
There
was no link. Did lockdown, and you've had plenty of that to deal with, did that help with material or did it sort of just go...
Well, it did once I got back onto stage.
Yeah.
It was good because, you know, there's a lot going on there. During the lockdown, you know, the trouble is there's a lot going on in my head and I like to talk. So, you know, the Amazon man... He took a pounding. You know what I mean? He'd wander up. I've got a package for you. 45 minutes later, he's going, well, I've enjoyed the chat.
Gotta go.
You know what I mean? I was dreaming of Jehovah's Witnesses. Come on, lads, come round.
Not good if you want to try and lose weight. So you probably put on a bit. And the missus wouldn't have been happy with that, Roscoe.
No, she wasn't.
No.
You're speaking from personal experience. Yeah.
No.
He's been hanging around in my garden. Shouting, he's trying it on with the wife.
Unbelievable. No mirrors in his house, clearly.
No, well, that's what happens during COVID. We all put on weight. Yeah, right. It's hard. You try and lose it, but it's bloody hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ross. Old Nobes. Look at Nobes.
Turn it to me.
Oh, my God. Great to see you.
Thanks for having me. I'm confused.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Anyone watch the following here?
No.
Hey, great show. Kevin Bacon.
Kevin. Write that down too.
Brother of Kevin. And he's very, very good. Jimmy boy, on Saturday, I broke a magnificent story, if you don't mind, umpire, where I heard that a lot of Australian cricketers were coming into town. Ricky Ponting had organised it, the skipper, of course, had organised for these magnificent cricketers to come to Melbourne.
You broke a story.
I broke it, Jim. Yeah. So Shane Watson was there, Bluey, your mate, Bluey, Gilly, Andrew Bickle, Buff, Lehman, Maddie, Hayden, Brett Lee, and also Justin Langer. So a lot of them your mates, so that you would have spoken to. But unfortunately, Jim, you weren't invited to this magnificent...
Yeah, I was working, Bill. No, Friday night, working all day Saturday.
So you weren't available. Invited. You weren't invited.
Not available.
Doesn't matter. You weren't invited. One. So if you don't get invited, it doesn't care if you're available.
I wasn't able to attend.
No, you didn't make it, Jim, because there was only one little reason. You didn't play for Australia. And we all know that, and we all thought that was funny. And a little
you
chuckle.
You thought it was funny?
No. But how did it all go, do you know?
I don't
because
know.
They're all your good mates.
Bill, I
Bluey's
was working.
Your best mate.
I was working.
JL.
Not able to attend because of work.
They stayed at Crown. They went to Capital. They went down here somewhere. Bill Ponsford
down
was
down here somewhere.
Bill Ponsford was there.
Oh, Bill really? Ponsford. Bill started to roll his number. Who did? Stan McCaig or someone
Victor Trumpet.
Victor Trumpet.
They were all there, had a great time.
Ray Linwall.
Yeah. Oh, no. They were all there. Everyone had a great time, but you weren't invited.
Bill,
so
I was at work.
Did you hear?
I don't know what else about that you don't understand.
So you didn't hear,
I wasn't able to attend because I was at work.
Didn't hear anything from any of the boys.
I think they would have had a great time. They went to the St. Andrews Beach Brewery, our great friends.
Yes, nice. Exactly.
Took the room out the back and had a punt and watched the footy and had
you
a beer.
You went there.
And then I would have had, I think they went to the Sorrento Hotel and the new restaurant there. They had a little room.
Nice.
And Phil, what they did, I imagine, is have a, no, the other one, the old,
the pub.
Traditional.
So you were there?
So they had a great time, Bill, together.
And you went there?
Bill.
Why weren't you there?
Unlike you.
Why didn't you get invited?
I don't go to other people's reunions.
Why didn't you
I only go to reunions of teams that I played in that won.
So you didn't get
That's
invited.
Why you don't go to any reunions.
Because you didn't play for Australia. You didn't
I
get
wasn't
a baggy
able
green.
To go.
No, you did not get invited. I'm going to ring JL.
Are you?
Yes. Yeah,
what are you going to say?
I said, I did. I had a chat to him because he likes
you
me.
You had a chat to him,
last time.
Of course
said,
you did.
I said, what happened to Jim? I thought you were good mates.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are, but he never played for Australia. Even though he thinks he should have and he could have.
No, I do. That is incorrect.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I want to see a crocodile eat a giraffe.
Boys, you both had weekends away. Bill, you were in Sydney.
Yes.
JB, you were in Hobart.
I went to some magnificent wineries in Hobart on Saturday, Richmond just out of Hobart. One of them was called Domain A, which is owned by the same man that owns Mona, the magnificent... what would you call it? It's not even an art gallery. It's an experience down there. It's quite a nuts thing. If you haven't been to Mona down in Hobart, make sure you go. It is extraordinary. Anyway.
Did you go to the wall?
Got lots of... The wall of you.
Yes.
I didn't go this time,
right.
But I have before.
Right.
But I went to this incredible winery, Bill.
Yes.
And finished the wine tasting with this beautiful lady's 50th. We were down there. Getting back on the bus, and there was a professional photographer there.
Oh.
So I had a photo taken with Lisa, put it up online. The luckiest woman in Australia seems happy. And then didn't think any more about it until Rabs, the phone calls started coming in.
Yes.
And I'm looking because we're at a thing, so I'm not answering any of the phones, but they're ringing. And then I hear from my dear mum, Joni, who's nearly 80, my mum. She goes, "Oh, darling, what a magnificent thing that is." I'm like, "Mum, what are you talking about?" She goes, "You and Lisa, how beautiful is that?"
Going to a winery.
I'm like, "Mum, I don't know what you're talking about." "No, it's wonderful. We love Lisa. She's so beautiful." I'm like, "Mum, I'm getting now quite annoyed. Yeah. If you don't tell me the hell it is you're talking about." She goes, "You're engaged, the two of you." I'm like, "No, we're not. What are you talking about?" Yeah. She said, "Yes, you are. It's on the wires." That's what Mum calls the internet. "It's on the wires, Dahl, that you're engaged. That's magnificent."
Yes.
I said, "Mum, who told you that?" She said, "No, it was on there. Someone said it. They told me about it." Anyway, I peeled it back a layer and found out that the biggest half-wit I know, Bill Brownless, has put underneath the photo, "Great announcement, Jim. We're all proud of you." So now the whole world's ringing me.
Sucked in.
All I did is have a photo.
That was a beautiful photo.
All I did is have a photo.
Jim, it was a beautiful photo. It looked like an engagement shot.
Bill.
It did. So I just said, congrats.
On the announcement.
On the announcement.
Even congrats.
Which there wasn't an announcement, actually.
Yeah. And I thought this would be good, just see who picks it up and runs with it.
Yeah.
And
the whole world is who ran with it.
That's good.
And Bill.
Now you're under pressure.
I said on the thing that the beautiful Lisa is Australia's luckiest woman.
Yeah, I did read that.
She's not that lucky.
No.
Not yet. Not yet.
Yeah, oh, she's listening,
not
Jim.
Yet.
She just rang through now.
No, no,
Jim.
He doesn't listen.
She does.
Anyway,
congratulations.
Get stuff, Bill.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Shouldn't make fun of people that can't talk.
Ever wonder if you're in the right business, Bill? Now,
yes,
we went Friday to the footy.
We did.
Well, I did. You didn't. You went to Crown.
That's right. I went to Crown.
Yeah. Bill had a gig.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, at the pub.
At the pub. At
so
Crown.
What was that gig, by the way?
Well, it's just to get people down to the pub at Crown there, which is it's called the pub.
So you're the lure.
I'm the lure. I walk around. How are you going? Would you like a drink? And they've got the biggest screens there in the world.
We've been there. We've done a show for them.
Yeah, exactly.
Look popular.
Yeah. The shot I saw, there wasn't anyone anywhere near you.
That was Bichot, how big the screen is, Jim.
That was Bichot.
That was it. I was with people there, of course. Ruby
Rabs,
and Josh come down.
Not a person near him.
Ruby and Josh come down. They were
social distancing. Still at the pub?
No. Oh. I had to show how big the screen was. That's that shot, if you have a good look at it. Rabbits. So anyway, good.
So you're employed to try and get people to go to the pub at Crown.
On socials, Jim, I'm an influencer.
No, you're not. You're actually not at all.
I wear Crocs and I'm an influencer.
Oh, my God. Anyway, so he goes to the pub and they pay him.
Oh.
Well, correct me if any of this is wrong. Yes. They pay him via a voucher. So Bill gets handed a voucher.
Yes. No, well, not there. I had to go somewhere to get it.
Yeah. And what do you just then cash that in?
No, I don't know. I haven't opened it. I just, I assume that I haven't opened it. It's a lovely package. But I had to go over to another area, to the Crown Towers, Jim, to get my voucher.
To get a voucher.
Yeah.
To pay him for the amazing work he did luring no one to the pub.
And, well, there was there was a lineup. You couldn't get in the joint, Jim. We sat there and watched St Kilda and Collingwood. It was great.
So Bill goes from the pub to Towers to get the voucher that's going to pay him. When he arrives, the person behind the jump has no clue who Bill is.
No, that's true.
No idea. So Bill's standing there, old fat, standing there going, right, I need to get my money. I need to get my voucher to get paid.
Yes.
And she's, I got no idea who you are.
So she wanted ID.
And Bill doesn't carry a wallet.
No.
So you don't, on any part of your body, have driver's license or anything that resembles ID.
Just cash, Jim.
That's all he does is have cash on him.
That's it.
Which you can't use anywhere anymore.
No.
But Bill's got cash on him and nothing else.
No.
So this lady's looking at him going, well, I don't know who you are, so I'm not, and you can't prove who you are.
Well, I said who I was.
I'm not giving you any money.
I said I'm Bill Brownless.
So she goes,
pick up a voucher.
She goes, well, how do I know you are who you say you are? Because you haven't got any ID.
Mm.
At which point Bill said to her, Google me.
She did not.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't think I said that.
That is exactly what she said.
Well,
Google me.
So, guess what happened?
What happened?
She typed in Billy Brownless.
And?
1 second later, she goes, here you go, Billy. Here's your voucher. Because my big fat head just popped up, mate. And she's had to say, that is you. Well done there. So, though, that is true, Jim. But that was a good way to do it. That's
Google
smart.
Me.
That's smart. Yeah. Clever. Clever from Anthony William.
Talking about people not knowing who you are.
8 out of 10.
The reverse applied to me. Remember when my car got towed?
Yes.
So I then went to the tow place.
Yeah.
And I didn't have any ID either because my wallet was in the car that had been towed.
They wouldn't get you.
So the bloke says to me, well, Jim, you're going to have to go around to the cop shop and get a stat deck.
No, he did not.
He did. And I said to him,
said, Jim.
So I said, you're asking me to prove who I am when you already know who I am.
Yeah. That's annoying.
I know. I had to walk around to the Collingwood cop shop and get the lady to sign a stat deck that I was who I was when the bloke already knew
who
was.
You were.
That's it.
Well, I got towed one day, and it cost you a lot. You got to pay there and then.
Bill, you get charged for towing and the fine for parking there.
Exactly.
$600.
So I'm spewing, and old mate thinks it's funny that towed me, comes up and says, "You want? Can we get a photo, Bill?
No.
Or is that photo wall? I said, go and get.
Photo up your date.
Exactly right. That's exactly what I said. Go and get stuff.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Yeah, you're just an old man lover.
Yep. I love big saggy balls.
I go.
Now, I've got a story to tell you, Jim, here, about Ruby, my second eldest daughter.
Yep.
You had a nice little car, Jim, a nice little white Golf.
Oh, nice. Yes, that is a nice car.
Used to zoom around and very cheap on fuel, let me tell you. And I liked it
nice
because
car.
Of that reason. And she loved it, of course. She's driving along one day, Jimmy boy. And out from the dash crawls a big huntsman.
Oh, no.
She doesn't like spiders, Jim.
Oh, no.
I'm the man. I used to save the house there when there's a snake or a spider. I'd just come in and grab him.
A snake.
Yep. I'd grab him by the tail.
I put it to you that there's never been
anyway,
a snake
Jim,
in your house.
A big huntsman crawls out from the dash. And poor old Rube shits herself.
Oh, no.
Right?
Well, you would.
Breaks straight off to the side of the road there, jumps out of the car, and unfortunately, she never got back in the car.
What?
Because the huntsman was still in there. Rings poor old Josh, her boyfriend. He comes around after a while, rings me, and I was on air. I couldn't make it, Jim. But
she, I couldn't make it.
She could. She did not get back in the car because the huntsman was still in there.
No.
And guess what?
What?
She ended up selling the car.
No.
Because never got back in the car again.
So, Bill, she didn't trust the car to be able to be driven because of one spider.
One spider. Never got back in once she jumped out of it that original first time.
So you would have washed off a bit of value too when it came to be resold?
No, not really. We did all right.
Oh.
But Josh drove it home and then she puts it for sale. Straight away, bang, up for sale and sells it. Actually did drop a bit, but poor old dad had to make the difference. But that was, she sold the car because of that reason, Jim.
So?
So hence.
Hence.
133353.
Right, what are we going with?
When have you sold your car? Unusual, Jim. When have you sold your car unusual? Because that's unusual. A spider never got back in the car, sells the car.
So the ridiculous reason you've been forced to sell your car.
No, Jim. When have you sold your car unusual?
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
So then he yelled at the bird yelled back with infanities.
Profanities. Write that down, please. Now, I don't normally like you taking charge of the phoners, but this one might work.
Well, Ruby had a car, and nice little car, but she sold it because of a spider.
Yep.
She got Huntsman out of it.
In there and would never get back into
never
the car.
Never got back in the car, so she sells it.
Right,
so
what are you going with?
When have you sold your car? Unusual. Right. And they've rang.
They've rang.
They have.
Trav's in Clyde North. Hello, Trav.
Yo, Jim, how you going?
Good, man. What have you done?
Right. Yeah, so I had to sell my car when I was a P-plater because it was too powerful, the cop said.
Oh, it was a V8.
It was a supercharged V6, actually.
Oh, Statesman, was it?
Yeah, mate. It was.
I thought so, yeah.
Oh, did you? You had that in your mind.
The supercharged V8 Statesman. Jim, do you know your car?
V6, he said, not V8.
V6 Statesman, I said. Well done, Trav.
Stay there, Trav. Dazzling's in Croydon. Hello, Daz.
Yeah, hey guys, how you going?
What happened, Daz?
This is going back a few years when I was a bit young and stupid, but I'd been out with a few mates who I was partners in a racehorse with.
Yeah.
We'd been to the Moonee Valley Trots, went out to the Lyric.
The Lyric?
Went to the Lyric afterwards.
In Geelong?
in Geelong, and then one of my mates threw up in the car. Had to drive it all the way back to Melbourne the next day. Got it detailed. Could not get rid of the stench.
That never comes out.
What type of car did you have?
It was a Toyota Celica.
Nice.
I mean, the Celica.
Nice chariot. Mate,
that spew from Geelong to Melbourne.
Oh, no.
And been to the trots at Moonee Valley.
And the lyric.
Down to the lyric. The lyric.
That's funny.
Oh, drink cards there.
Yeah, men will travel a long way if they think there's a chance. Jeff in Mildura. Hello, Jeffrey.
G'day, lads. How you going, boys?
But Jeffrey, why did you sell your car?
Well, the boys were going on a footy trip to Bali, and I couldn't afford to go. And I thought, screw it, I'm not missing out on this. I had an EA Falcon, sold it for $3,000. Boys pissed themselves laughing about it, and off we went and had a great old time.
That's good.
Who are you playing footy for then?
I was playing for Wentworth up in Benny McGlynn and, up at Mark Elby area.
Little wee man McGlynn.
Yeah. Who drives the bus up there?
Big Ronnie Andrews.
Ronnie Andrews. Yeah, drives a bus at Wentworth. He does too.
Ronnie Andrews. I love it. All
three grand cash, Jim.
Stay on the line, Jeff.
Would have been good in Bali.
Macca in Geelong. Hello, Macca.
Macca.
Hey, boys. How you going?
What happened, Macca?
So I was down in Geelong. The Minister of War and Finance had me doing a bit of gardening. And so I had to get the bloody steel chainsaw serviced.
Yeah.
So I've gone down to the local steel, and he goes, yeah, it'll be about half an hour, 20 minutes. Yeah, no worries, brother. Anyway, I've gone next door, and I said to the bloke, his car salesman, I said, interested in buying a good Hilux ute? Yeah. He goes, actually, I do need one. I said, just sweet. So I actually got a few extra K than I expected. Yeah. Not that I told the Minister of War and Finance that. I said that I made a profit. Anyway, old mate gives me a lift back to up on the hill. And the good woman goes, where's the bloody ute? And I said, I don't know. This bloke's got it and I got a wad of cash. And you know what I did, Billy?
What?
I actually took her for the crumb cutlets down at the Cremona.
Oh, no. Well, there's the end of your profit.
Oh, the steel chainsaw there. Batto would have looked after him there. Big Batto's a steel man. That's good, isn't it, Jim?
Oh, nice. I like that. Yeah. A little collect for him. Russ is in Frankstonville.
Curried sausages. Hello, Russell.
G'day. How are you going?
Yeah, good, Russell. What did you do?
A few years ago, I was really keen to get an LC Cortina station wagon. I finally got one. And a mate of mine resprayed it as a favour. Yeah. I went down the saltwater creek down here to launch my boat. And,
Oh, no.
And as I pushed the boat off the trailer, the car went to the creek as well.
The Cortina!
Cassette tapes are floating past me on the seat and everything. And I dragged it out up the ramp again, dropped the fuel tank, and we got it going again. Took it home, hosed it out, and sold it 2 days later.
That's funny.
And I felt pretty bad about it.
Of course you did. Of course you did, Russ. Bill, it was floating with the boat.
Well, no, Russ was in it.
Wayne from Mount Martha, Wayno.
Hey, boys, how you going?
Good, Wayno.
The missus' car. I needed to do a bit of housework, and I rang the brother up and borrowed a bit of concrete sealer off him.
Yep.
Anyway, put it in the back of the boot, driving home, and it spilled out all over the back seat of the car.
Oh, no.
And the chemical smell from the concrete sealer was that strong, you couldn't even drive the car anymore. We had to basically give it away.
So you sold it.
Who is gone?
Imagine buying that. Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. Here we go. Don't miss your chance to see Europe's best football teams battle it out. Even battle it out.
So, you know, music's important in a funeral. We're just talking about getting buried. But a lot of people spend a lot of time getting the music they want at their own funeral right before they pass away.
Yes.
And one of the big things that happen when you go to a really nicely done funeral is that the music when the coffin is taken out of the church or out of the area. Yes. So when you exit, and often you'll hear something like this.
Time to say goodbye.
And Bill, not a dry eye in the house.
Exactly. Yes, exactly right. And beautifully done.
Yep.
Robbie Williams, Angels.
Angels, you'll often hear that. One. You know, so there's lots of songs that people like to have playing.
K.D. Lang sang it.
When the casket leaves the church. So I wasn't there when this happened, but I had mates that were.
Oh.
One of my mate's uncles passed away who had a real twinkle in his eye.
Ooh.
So he said, I want to be in charge of the music, and I especially want to be in charge of what gets played when the coffin leaves the church. Mm. So it wasn't the church, it was the area, the room. So anyway, they were all sitting there, and all the speeches had finished, and it was time for the pallbearers to pick the coffin up, Bill, and take him out, and then this started. And everyone that knew this bloke started pissing themselves.
They would have.
Because they were all waiting. They knew he'd had one last rein to pull. And the banana, banana. All the old boys were roaring.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to have that level of humour about my own exit.
Well, you haven't.
I'm just gonna hopefully here for a bit longer. But when I'm done, Bill, you want people to enjoy the fact that you're still able to have a laugh.
Well, there's stories about Jim that blokes have did a bit of audio before they pass away.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's all, you know, very sad and they're walking out and the cast is ready to be buried, and you hear him, they hit audio, and then you go, hey! Yeah. What are you doing? Here I am. I'm in here. Any chance you can get? Get me out of here!
This
and all
is
that.
What we're saying.
So you wouldn't know what to do, would you?
Well, I don't reckon you would know.
You'd have a smirk, or would you?
You wouldn't, Bill. You probably would.
Oh. My mate's nana had the funeral, and she wanted Robbie Williams' Angels.
Yes.
Unfortunately, the church got the track listing wrong.
Oh,
so instead of, you know, they accidentally played the next song, which unfortunately is Let Me Entertain You.
Man would have liked
true,
it.
True story.
Oh. Man would have gone, that's it.
Whole song played out. 4 minutes 17.
Good.
Imagine everyone looking at himself
Come on, he's loving it.
Oh.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Look at him. He's now in the fetal position because he knows how appalling that is.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day. We've gone through a whole year's worth of Billy's jokes to pick out the best ones.
A good joke on this show would be good.
Sadly, we couldn't find any, so this will have to do.
That is appalling.
No, it's not.
On the best of Triple M's Rush Hour, this is Billy's joke.
Got in late last night to Sydney Gym, and I saw Sean Connery on the TV box,
Yes, TV box.
I'm just getting into character as we speak.
Yes, good, good.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Dishes.
Dishes who?
Dishes Sean Connery.
I reckon, the seventh time you've told that joke on...
Guess, wait for this. This is the eighth.
Right.
What time does... Does Sean Connery go to Wimbledon to watch the game, Jim? What time?
What time does he go?
Ten-ish.
Oh, no.
That's hideous.
That's terrible.
And there's more.
There better be more.
He was sitting in his lounge room, poor old Sean, Jim, and a heap of books fell on top of him, all on his head.
Yes.
You know what he said? What
did he say?
I only have my shelf to blame.
Oh, that's better. That's better. I can see Least Dangerous Dave, man with a head like a bum, out the front here. He is appalled at the standard of those three Sean Connery jokes.
I only have my shelf.
Here he comes. Look.
Dangerous. Where is the bum?
Dangerous has just trash talked you through the door.
Well, he can get stuffed. Is he still around? I thought he got the arse.
He's the number one radio jock on the station.
And because you're in Sydney and because you pushed my buttons yesterday.
You only have myself to blame.
Boule, boule.
Right.
Boule, boule.
Yeah, right.
Back. What?
King's boule, Cross. Boule. Bondi boule, Junction. Boule. Beans brandless.
Watch.
Oh.